for America, and I want to visit about that just for a second or two. I want to address my remarks to the young men in this audience and perhaps their mothers and their grandmothers and grandfathers, and yes, fathers, and that takes care of everybody but the young ladies in the audience. I want to talk about peace. We take a lot for granted in America, and probably we should. We're the greatest country on the face of the earth. We're strong because we have strong leadership in the White House. We have strong moral leadership. We have strong military leadership. We have a strong defense in America because of President Ford's personal persuasion and personal insistence on a strong defense. And this year, for the first time in nearly a decade, we've added real growth to our defense budget. And I don't say that to suggest we just ought to spend money for defense to spend your tax dollars. No, I don't say that at all. We ought to cut out the waste, we ought to cut out the fat, and we're doing that. But I do remind you that we're not at war. No shots are being fired in anger. No young men are being drafted. No memorial service are being held in this community or in any other community in America. You're not visiting your son or grandson or someone else's son in some hospital, or he's not home on leave with an arm or leg missing or with some other physical or mental impairment. And that's because we're strong. That's because we're respected by our friends and our potential adversaries overseas. And I submit that we have a lot of problems, and there are probably some things wrong with America. But I also submit, and I suggest to this audience again, despite or whatever your party affiliation may be, that President Ford wants strong leadership for America. He wants strong leadership for the strength of America. He wants a strong defense for peace and freedom. And I say that ought to make a great deal of difference and will make a great deal of difference on next Tuesday. And we need to think about it. Drink a little pineapple juice. It's a lot better for you than peanut butter. For one thing, it won't stick to the roof of your mouth. Right? And keep in mind, the peanut is the easiest nut to crack. And we're working on that. We're going to get that done by Tuesday. What are you doing out here, Gordon? Well, I have a friend here from Kansas, and I'm pleased to see Gordon Bosler here. Every time I go somewhere, I find people from Kansas, and many moved after I was elected. I don't know if there's any significance to that or not, but if I'm elected vice president, where are you going to move to? But seriously, I think it's important to remember, as I've just tried to say, that we're strong, we're respected. And what does Governor Carter want to do for America in the area of defense? Well, he said last year he wanted to cut it $15 billion. He said this year we ought to cut it $5 to $7 billion. He hasn't told us how precisely. He said he could do it this way and that way and wouldn't affect our strength in the world. And then his running mate is Senator Mondale, that ultra-liberal senator and my friend, and we serve in the Senate. When he votes yes, I vote no, and I think I'm right most of the time. But he talks about, he hadn't talked much about defense in his campaign. He talks about welfare, and he's put a lot of people on welfare, or would if the Mondales prevailed in the Senate of the United States, because he's voted against every new weapon system, or virtually every new weapon system. He votes for all the budget cuts in defense, and I just think that Americans and Californians in this area ought to take a hard look. You ought to take a look at their defense record. You ought to take a look at their rhetoric. You ought to take a look at their promises. It not only weakens America, it takes away a great many jobs. And it's not enough to stand up and say to someone, well, I'm against that program and I'm against this program, and you may lose your job, but I'll support a bigger welfare program for America. Most Americans would rather work, and they like to work now. And so I just suggest that's one of the vital issues in this campaign. Then we have Governor Carter on tax reform. I'll just take a few minutes on that because he doesn't have any program. But he talks about tax reform. 2 days ago, he said in the morning, early in the morning, that he thought a tax cut was inevitable. But by nightfall, he had changed his mind. So he didn't want to say something that couldn't happen. And I just suggest we look at what he said at the convention. He said our national tax system was a disgrace. Then a week later, he went back to New York City, and he had a meeting with some small businessmen there, Henry Ford and some other small businessmen. And they couldn't get into McDonald's. It was filled. So they went to another little place where small businessmen have lunch, the Club 21, it's called. You've probably all been there. It's where a lot of small businessmen hang out. And they had lunch for 52 small businessmen. A Coca-Cola Corporation, that small business, picked up the tab for $1,510, probably what most of you spend for lunch. But anyway, Governor Carter talks about the poor and the working man, what he's going to do for them. Told Henry Ford not to worry about any tax reform. It'd take at least a year. This is the same Governor Carter who said our system was a disgrace. He didn't tell you that the committees were controlled by Democrats in the Congress, liberal Democrats, for the last 22 years. No, he didn't tell you that. Then he said in an Associated Press interview, and Governor Carter's had a lot of interviews. This was the unillustrated one, Associated Press. You've heard about the other one? He said that most people didn't want their taxes raised. Or lowered, excuse me. Most Americans didn't want their taxes lowered. That's what he said. Anybody here who doesn't want their taxes lowered? We have a doctor traveling with us. Be glad to have him look you over right after the meeting. He also said that those above the median income, those American families, would probably have their taxes increased. He only made one mistake. He didn't know what the median income was. And it's $14,000 a year. That's middle income. I don't believe they want their taxes increased. President Ford said they will not have their taxes increased. In fact, he said the first order of business next year will be a tax reduction for middle-income Americans. He's going to propose it to the Congress in January 1977. And that's the kind of leadership we need. So we've had Governor Carter talking about inflation and taxes. If you add up some of the cost of their programs, we're talking about $100 billion. That's going to be either higher taxes or more inflation. And I just believe it's time that we took a look. In fact, time is running out. And if you're a farmer, and I'm certain there's some farmers in this area, there's some in this audience, I hope, you're concerned about a free agriculture. You're concerned about a lot of things. Governor Carter thinks we ought to have gun control. Senator Mondale was one of 16 senators who voted to register and license handgun owners, one of 16. And he cast that vote in 1972. And that's in their platform. Do you want gun control?
No.
I don't think so. Out in our country, they want to abolish right-to-work laws. You don't have those here. We think they're rather important. We think the American people, American working men and women, should have a right to belong or not to belong to a labor union, but not... Not Governor Carter, because he had word from George Meany that not the way it was going to be. And he said, that's fine, George, whatever you say, George. Be all right with me, George. They once asked George Meany why he didn't run for president. He said, why step down? Why step down? He's got a pretty good grip on the liberals in this country. He's got a pretty good grip on the Liberal Democratic Party. And I would say to my Democrat friends in the audience, I assume you have a conservative to moderate philosophy. I assume you're concerned about the direction we're going to take in this country. And I say, wherever you look, however you slice it, President Ford comes out on top. We want a free agriculture. We want to get the government off your back and keep the government off your back. And that's the Republican program. I might add in that regard that I've been on the House Committee 8 years on agriculture, on the Senate Committee 8 years, and President Ford has already said that come January I'm going to have a very important role to play in the field of agricultural exports. And that's where the future for American agriculture is. It's expanding our export markets. And farmers can't stay on the farm unless they make a profit. And the sooner the consumers learn this, the better off they're going to be. We're going to have more farmers staying on the farm. Well, I'm going to stop talking before my voice stops. I picked up a cold. We had a little debate down in Houston. I was standing in that draft for 75 minutes. All that liberal air blowing around in there sort of gets to you after a while. So my voice is a little hoarse. But it's the same voice, at least the same words coming out here as come out in Kansas or New York or Florida. We're not offering different speeches to different audience or different philosophy to different audiences. We believe in a moderate to conservative philosophy. That's our platform, as Governor Reagan has said, time after time after time. You ought to read the platforms. There's a great deal of difference in the platforms. So I just make this final plea. First, we thank you for your help. We need it. America needs it, not because we're Republicans. And don't worry about me, because I figured out if Ford makes it, I'm going to make it. There's no way he can be elected without me being elected, so don't spend any time campaigning for me. But spend your time. We still have Sunday and Monday, and those are very important days, and you have the rest of the afternoon today. And if you'll work for President Ford for 2.5 more days, he'll work for you for 4 more years. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator Dole. Let's hear it for the senator. Okay. The senator has expressed a desire to walk down and meet as many of you.